Turn your Bible to the book of Genesis, and then stand when he finds your place in Genesis chapter number 32. And I want to give you what the Lord's placed on my heart. Don't be nervous, because I hardly ever preach over an hour and a half. Amen. I won't take your time. I know you're hungry. I'm a little bit hungry myself. That Hardy's biscuit didn't make it long this morning. I know you don't know me. I don't know you, but I know him, and that's all that matters. Amen. I wish that sometimes I get nervous, have a hard time when I go to a new place, because you got to learn the people, learn the crowd. But I do want to say this morning. I appreciate the privilege of being here, and then the preacher handing this pulpit over to somebody he don't know real well. But I promise you, I won't do anything out of line. I'll do what the Holy Ghost has placed upon my heart. Genesis chapter 32, I prayed the 3.5 hour trip up the road trying to figure out what the Lord have us to preach, and I was between two messages, and I asked the Lord to show me during service what I need to do, and I believe He showed me this morning. Genesis chapter 32, a very familiar portion of Scripture, verse number 23, the Bible said, "And He took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that He had. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.'" Father, Lord, I thank You for the privilege to be in this place this morning. Lord, I thank You for the good revival meeting, Lord, we had this week, and the hearts that were saved, Lord, and those that got changed this week. I thank You for the meeting. Lord, I'm with a new crowd this morning, a different congregation, even though they're Your children. Father, I need a touch from heaven tonight. Father, if You don't touch us, Father, there'll be nothing done. Father, for those that await our words, I pray You'd give us wisdom. Pray You'd give us what You'd have us to preach. Lord, we'd not take too long, but give exactly what You'd have us to do. Lord, if there's someone here discouraged, I pray You'd encourage them. Lord, someone lost, I pray You'd save them. Lord, more than anything, when we leave this place, Lord, I pray that we'll be able to say that we felt the presence of God Himself. And Father, I pray You'd be with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen, and you can be seated. You don't know me. I'm just country boy, so don't get nervous if I go to acting crazy. All right. I'm not Pentecostal or none of that. Ain't got nothing to worry about, brother. Amen. The book of Genesis here, the Bible tells us a very familiar portion of Scripture. The Bible tells us in verse 24 that Jacob was left alone. There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. I want to preach for just a little bit this morning, if I can, on coming through the valley with a touch. Coming through the valley with a touch. And I would say this, I have been through a lot of valleys in my life. I had to walk by the grave of my dad and bury him as a young boy and stand there at the graveside and put him in the grave. And I know what it's like to walk through some valleys. The Lord's been good to us. Me and my wife have been full-time on the road now about 6 years full-time, and God's blessed. And I don't understand why He would use us in these days. But I would say this, there are some valleys that you'll walk through that may only last a few hours. Some valleys may only last a few minutes. Some may last years. Some may last months. But rest assured, whatever valley you go through in this life, when you come through, there needs to be a change in your life. I would say, first of all, tonight here, I want you to notice Jacob's wrestle. If you'll get with me, I'll try my best to hurry. The Bible tells us that he took his family and he sent them over the brook, and Jacob was left alone. Now, there's a group of preachers around here today, and they're nothing more than a bunch of actors from Hollywood that's pastoring 50,000 people, and they're telling us that we don't need to be alone, but you always need someone there with you. I can understand that to a point that you need somebody there, but there are times in your life when you just need to get along with nobody else but you and the Holy Ghost of God. We're living in days of apostasy, days of rebellion, and the days we're living in, they're saying, never be alone. When you go pray, take someone with you. I've heard all of that mess, but I'm going to tell you this much. God hears the prayer, that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Someone said, "Preacher, well, the Lord said, where two or three is gathered in His name, He'd be there." Well, if I'm there and He's there, that's all I need. That's two last time I counted. And we sure do need His touch in this day. The preachers that are in our day today are preaching on a man-made touch. They're preaching on a touch that is built up by emotions and by the flesh. And nobody's getting saved. Nobody's getting right with the Lord. Revival's not taking place because they don't have a Holy Ghost touch. Hey, it's a lot of young preachers coming on the scene and they don't have a Holy Ghost touch either. They've got a touch. I'm not sure what the touch is. It's a touch of something. But it ain't a touch of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you this much. When you walk through the valley, there ought to be a change in your life. I would notice here some of the worst times you'll ever find in your Christian life is in those dark hours of the night when nobody's around. Kind of like that little baby, it kind of seems that, hey, it's in the wee hours of the night that the fever gets worse. It's in the wee hours of the night around midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, when that fever gets worse. And things always seem to get worse in the night. I would say that the days we're living in, it's a nighttime experience. We're walking through valleys. Those of us that serve God, we're going to have to walk through some night experiences. Now you may say, preacher, I'm not in a valley this morning. I'm not preaching this either because of the brother. I'd heard about this long before I ever got here. I'm not preaching that because he's here, but I'm preaching it because it's what God laid on my heart. Now listen to me. You may not be in a valley today, but there will be one ahead. And preacher, somebody say, well, preacher, I don't need this today. Well, you better store it up. You're going to need it down the road. Because if you serve God any length of time, there are hard times coming. And there's suffering coming for those that live godly in Christ Jesus. The Bible said that Jacob was left alone. I'm glad that I can still get along with God and spend some time with Him. The Bible tells us that the historians and the writers and all them smart people that have got doctor's degrees behind their name tell us that the hollow of a man's thigh is the strongest point in his body. And I understand that all well. Someone said that there was no way that Jacob's thigh could be touched unless someone opened him up. But I serve a God that can walk through walls and walk on water and do anything He wants to do. But the Bible tells us here that Jacob, the Bible said that the Lord touched him as he wrestled with him. I would say this today in this hour which we're living in, a lot of preachers and a lot of Christians and a lot of church members will walk through a storm in their life and they never come through the other side. But listen to me, I'm going to help you. I'm not here to hurt nobody or skin nobody this morning. I'll preach to you and help you if I can. But there are those that walk through valleys and they give up in the valley. You're not going to get anything out of the valley if you give up in the valley. Now listen to me, the Bible tells us here that Jacob, the Lord touched him, and the Bible said here in verse number 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now it would have been very easy for Jacob to be wrestling with the Lord here, and could I say this about the touch of the Lord? I read some writers, some smart people that really know a lot, and one said this is an angel of God. One said this is a great man that God sent alone. Another one said he was some companion of David. And I'm going to tell you this much. I know exactly who it was that touched me when he saved me from hell. And it wasn't an angel, and it wasn't a friend, and it wasn't a companion, but it was God, the Holy Ghost, that saved me from hell. These old writers, boy, they think they know it all because they got a big old long name behind their name. And they say, well, you know, here he is, here Jacob is, and some man has touched him. But if a man had touched Jacob, Jacob would have never changed. If I touched you, you would have never changed. But when He touches us, everything's going to have to change. Before this time, we'll always remember Jacob as him and his brother wrestled in the womb. Jacob was that trickster, that deceiver. And by the way, Jacob got it from his mama. That's what I'm blaming on my Jacob. I'm blaming him getting it on mama. Amen. But see, Jacob had an old nature behind him, and Jacob's days were full of trickery and full of deceit and full of trouble, and Jacob was always known as a trickster and a deceiver and a troublemaker. But after this encounter with God, Jacob's life will forever change, and he'll no longer be known as that one that wrestled or that one that was a trickster and deceiver, but from now on, God will give him a new name, and we'll find Jacob setting up altars and building tents and calling on God. The problem in our day, people get saved and nothing ever changes. Well, they come down and say, the Lord touched me and He saved me. And nothing ever changes. You can't find them the next week. You can't find them a year down the road. I will tell you something. If God the Holy Ghost saves you, there's something on the inside that will have desire of the things of the Lord and will desire to be in God's house. I don't always desire the message the preacher has to preach, but I always desire to be in his house. Now the Bible tells us that the Lord broke Jacob. If you'll ever notice, before God ever really uses somebody, He's always got to break them.
My daddy was a great preacher. I thank the Lord for it. I thank the Lord for my heritage. And my granddaddy's a preacher there, my pastor and all. And I thank God for all of that. But you'll find every great man that God has used, at one point in his life, God's had to break him. My dad was preaching, pastoring, and then went into full-time evangelism, preaching meetings all over the country. And then all of a sudden he come down with a brain tumor and brain cancer. And you know what, preacher? The doctor said he'll never make it. He'll never walk. He'll be a vegetable. They did surgery after surgery. They said he will not even know his family. He won't be able to read. He won't be able to do anything. He'll be just a retarded person that cannot do anything. And that was what the doctor saw. But see, God had something in store for my daddy. I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to play on your emotions. But God allowed him to walk through the valley and allowed him to walk through the storm. And guess what? His hair never fell out. He never forgot his name. He never forgot the Lord. He never couldn't recognize any of us because God put him through a valley so that he could touch him. There are those of us that you see that walk through valleys and they you see them go through the valley and they get bitter. They walk through hard times and it's easy to get bitter. It's easy to give up. But had Jacob given up during the wrestling match, Jacob would have missed out on a touch that would affect future generations. And if we as a people of God give up and kick out while the storms are raging, we're going to miss out on something great God's got for our life. Jacob was broken. You'll find out, secondly, that Jacob was burned. The Bible tells us that Jacob, once the Lord has touched Jacob, Jacob is never the same. I'm just a country boy. That's all I know. That's all I've ever known. I don't have Bible college smarts like everybody else does, okay? I went about 6 months, and they changed Bibles on me, and I said, well, I'm not coming back. I hit the road, and God's blessed me. But I'm going to tell you this. When the God, the Holy Ghost, touches you, your walk's going to change. You listen to me, you get saved and God touches you, you'll not want to go back to Egypt and go back to the world. And there's too many people say they get saved and they turn around and run back to Egypt and they live like Egypt and they desire. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I don't desire the things of Egypt. I've got a new spirit living on the inside of me. I don't desire the things of Egypt. But I got no flesh that does. I don't fight with preachers like I do with my flesh. I don't fight with my wife like I do with my flesh. But see, my flesh desires Egypt. My flesh desires the world and yours does too. Let's just go ahead and be honest. When God saves you, you ought to change. The Bible tells us that Jacob never walked the same again. Everybody that met Jacob along the way knew that God had done something in the life of Jacob. Once a man could have walked through a crowd and then never known who he was. But now when Jacob comes along, he's got to live. And everybody said, you know who that is? I told Jacob. Somebody said, what happened to Jacob? Why, he was in a wrestling match with God, and God won, and he won. Hey, it's a win-win situation. Hey, man, when God touches you, he comes out on the good end, and you do too. Bible tells us here, now, the Bible tells us here that his walk was changed. But I'm going to tell you this, all the children of Israel, you'll read the last part of the scripture, all of them changed their life. The Bible said that they eat not of the sinew which shrank because of this day, and to this day, their life has been changed by Jacob. Let me ask you this, how many lives have been changed by you? How many lives have been changed through your valley? How many people have been changed as a result of your salvation? How many people have you got the attention of? I'm afraid today we don't have the attention of anybody. But I'm going to tell you something. When God saves you, you ought to want to listen to a different kind of music. You ought to dress a different kind of way. You want to talk a different kind of way. You want to read your Bible, pray, come to the house of God. And there's something living on the inside of you that desires it. Hey, I don't desire the flesh, the things of the flesh. But my desire in these days is to have a Holy Ghost feel touch of God. That when we go across this nation, others can see the touch that God has given us. The Bible said that be not drunk with wine, where's an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. I would say this, that be not drunk with wine. A lot of us don't have a problem with, at least I hope you don't, unless it's just NyQuil. I know how that is, amen. Somebody asked me, said, preacher, how is it not getting to sleep at night? I said, what you talking about? A little swig of NyQuil, you don't remember nothing. Now y'all liven up just a little bit. I'll try to slow down. I get nervous when you crowd and I get preaching fast, but I'm burning calories. Hallelujah. Won't have to exercise today. I'll burn my calories. All right. But the Bible tells us here that Jacob was burdened. God changed the life of Jacob. And everyone around Jacob could see the change in his life. I won't say this when I'm talking about that being filled with the Holy Ghost. I still believe that we need to be filled with the Spirit of God in this day too. It's something that nobody preaches anymore. Nobody preaches on being filled with the Holy Ghost and having the touch of God. But hey, if you've got the touch of God, there's some things going to have to change. I remember, brother, you know, Brother Fane Jordan just passed away just several weeks ago, dear preacher friend. I'll never forget that day when I hear the evangelist was in meeting with another evangelist in up next to Virginia, and that old preacher got up and he preached all week, and he preached on being filled with the Holy Ghost of God. So I done what any good preacher would do. I got up, went out of service, and I went and prayed for him. Because I had never been filled. Now you listen to me, I want to help you this morning. My ministry started out, brother, as being filled when I needed it. As having the touch of God when it was time to preach. As having the Spirit of God on me when it was time to preach revival on me. But God, the Holy Ghost, kind of told me and said, this is not about just when you preach. It's not just about when you're in the limelight and preaching to me. But it's when you get out and you go to the world and you witness to souls and you tell them about God. You've got to have a touch. Let me tell you something. You can't win somebody without a touch. You can't sing without a touch. Hey, you may do it, but you'll not do any good. Hey, you remember them old preachers? I was raised up around them old time preachers. That's all them old preachers. They may not have had Bible knowledge. They may not have had a lot of doctrinal knowledge. But they had a touch like nobody else had. But they walked through the valley and they came through the valley. We'll notice that Jacob was broken. Jacob was burdened. But we'll find out that Jacob became a blessing. The Bible said here, he said, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. He said, thy name shall be no more called Jacob, but Israel. He said, in other words, he said, since I've touched you, some things are going to change in your life and you got a new name. Y'all dying on me too easy this morning. But when God saved me, He gave me a new name. I was wretched, lost, poor, miserable, blind, and naked. But when God gave me a new name, He gave me a name that's redeemed, sanctified, holy. Hey, I'm worthy in the eyes of God because of the blood He shed on Calvary. But with that new name and that touch that God's given him comes new requirements. You can't live any which way you want and have the touch of the Lord on you. It's kind of like an old car. It requires maintenance. I just got rid of my old truck. My truck had right at 400,000 miles on it. But that old truck had to have some maintenance along the way. There were some things I had to keep doing in order to keep it running. And I feel sorry for the preacher that bought it from me because it's probably going to blow up on him. Listen to me. But having the Holy Ghost touch of God on you is going to require some things. You're going to have to live holy. Did the Lord not say, be holy as I am holy? I'm going to tell you this, it's hard to be holy in this day. Somebody said, preacher, but it's impossible to serve God in these wicked days. No, it ain't. Noah stood in the midst of a wicked day. Abraham stayed true to God during the midst of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can still live for God in these wicked days. Hey, I can still live for God. Hey, if they could do it 150 years ago, we can do it today. And I would say this. The touch that I'm talking about today is not something you can just obtain by a little 3-minute prayer. Having the touch of God walking through battle. And a lot of people, the only time they pray is when they're on the bottom. The only time they pray is when they're down in the prison. But once they're out of the valley, once they're out of darkness and discouragement, they forget about God. In the book of Genesis, the Bible tells us about a man by the name of Joseph. The Bible said Joseph is in the prison with a butler and a baker. And both of them said, I had a dream. He said, well, I'll interpret the dream. And so he interpreted the dream to the baker and the butler. And he told the butler, he said, in 3 days they're going to restore you to your butlership. But in 3 days to the baker's, said, they're going to lift your head off and you're going to die. Now here's the problem. He said, when you see Pharaoh, make mention of me. But just as soon as the butler got back everything he wanted and was restored, he left Joseph in the prison and forgot all about Joseph. Problem is, there's a lot of walk through valleys and, oh, I need God during this dark time. But as soon as the valley's over, they don't need God anymore. As soon as the discouragement, the darkness is over, they forget all about the one that helped them get out of there. They forget all about the one that carried. I will tell you this. It's not family that gets me through valleys. It's not no my pastor that gets me through valleys. But it's having the touch of God and the confidence that greater is He that is within you than he that is within the world. Hey, when I come through the valley, I want to have a touch on my life. The Bible tells us Jacob was burdened. The Bible tells us Jacob became a blessing. This is what I want to give you. And then I'll be through. The Bible said, he said, let me go. Now Jacob had a hold of the Lord. When's the last time you had such a hold on God in your prayer in the wee hours of the night that you had a hold on God and God said, let go? You know, it's quiet this morning. As them old preachers used to say, I finally hit a few stumps in Tarot. Amen. When's the last time you had such a hold on God that He said, you need to let go, the morning's coming? You know why our prayers don't get answered? Because we're not willing to pray long enough. We're not willing to spend the time that it takes to get those prayers answered. Sometimes I'll pray a prayer, a 30-second prayer, and God will answer it. Sometimes He answers it just like I asked it, and I asked it the wrong way. Sometimes He answers it, and the answer is not enough. But there's a lot of prayers never get answered because we expect to come to God on Sunday morning and confess that prayer and ask God to touch us with it, and then we just wait another year down the road hoping God's going to do it. Now, He's merciful enough that He could do it. But Jacob won't. And so I believe with all my heart this night, listen to me, I'm not going to preach long this morning, but Jacob needed something from God. Jacob needed such something that was from God that he knew he was going to have to hold on until he got it. You know what will help you get through the dark hours of the night and through the valley? It's get a hold of God and don't let go until you come out of the storm. I believe it was Acts chapter 27 when the Bible said Paul was in a storm, and the Bible said he stood upon the bow of the ship and he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. It's mighty hard when the storm's raging and the ship's being torn into pieces for the preacher to stand up and say, hey, sir, be of good cheer, I believe God. It's mighty hard. Somebody said, why did Paul believe God? Because Paul had already seen God come through time and time again, and Paul had enough faith and confidence in God to believe that God knew what He said He'd do. The Bible tells us, Paul said, for this night there stood by me the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Somebody said, hell, who helped Paul get out of the storm? He said, it was God. It was the presence of God. It was the angel of God that helped me get through the storm. You're not going to get through this life on your own. I'm not going to get through on my own. And if you think you're going to get through on your own, you're going to find yourself in a heap of trouble. Because we've left God out of the equation. A lot of us are walking through things right now. And there are storms of our own making. Because of unconfessed sin in our heart, we're having, like old Jonah, we're having to live with our mistake. You're having to walk through a storm because, now just because somebody's walked through a storm don't mean they're full of sin. Someone said the other day, some writer I read, he said, if no one ever sinned, he said, no one would ever be sick. So I read a little more and he said, why, if no one ever sinned, he said, there'd be no stubbed toes, no runny nose, there'd be no sickness would ever come on. I don't care what that man said. It don't matter. You live as godly as you want. You're going to stub your toe. You're going to have a runny nose every once in a while. But I'm going to tell you, there are people that are walking through things because they had unconfessed sin in their life. Somebody said, preacher, how do you get out of those storms? You're going to have to get close to God. You're going to have to get back on your knees. But the Bible tells us that Paul was in that storm. And he said, you know what? Said, fellas, the ship's going to be torn to pieces. Everything's coming apart. He said, but not one hair will fall off your head. He said, we may make it all in on broken pieces, but you rest assured we're all going to make it safe to the other side. I don't care if they vote in Hillary as Clinton next time. Hillary Clinton is paid. It don't really matter. Because those of us that are saved by the grace of God, not one of us is God going to forget about or lose us on the way through the journey. Because God's going to take care of us. But how are you going to come through the valley? You give up in the valley, you'll miss out on something. You'll miss out on something that will not only help you, but it'll help others around you. God may not necessarily be putting you through a storm to discourage you or to hurt you. God may be putting you through a storm not only to help you grow, but to help everybody else around you grow. Brother, it may be what God's putting you through, He's going to help some other preacher down the road. Maybe what God's put this church through, He's going to help a church down the road help them with what you've gone through. Hey, that voice of experience seems to help. Hey, times I've had people where I've stood by the graveside of family and they say, preacher, I know exactly where you are. I've stood exactly where you stand. I know exactly how you feel. And brother, I will look at them and say, you're a liar. You don't know how I feel. You're full of the devil. But I'm going to tell you, there are some that have been there. There are some that have walked through the valley. And I know they have, but when they come out of the valley, they've got something on them that nobody else has got, and it's the sweet presence of the touch of God. You listen to me, the Bible said Jacob got a hold of God and he said, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. You know why our prayers ain't getting answered? You know why we ain't having revival? You know our souls ain't being changed around us? It's because we won't hang on to God long enough and pray the prayer until God answers it. Jacob held on until God changed him. By the way, when I got saved, I had a hold of him until he saved me. It didn't take long, but I wasn't going to let go until I got what I came for that night. There's a lot, though, walking through valleys today that will give up and quit in the storm. And can I say you something? Say, well, preacher, it's a whole lot easier to give up. You can't find a stopping place. You can't find a good stopping place in the valley. You'll not do it. You know what the danger is? There's a generation coming up among us. And I wish I could say that our elderly folk would carry the church on. And I'm going to tell you this. If we don't get some young people that see something in the generation of today, as soon as the older folk are dead and gone, our churches are done with. Because it's not your grandma and grandpa that's going to carry the church on through. It's not those that are older saints of God that's going to carry us through. It's going to be the generation that's the present right now. These young people will be the ones that if the Lord don't come, we'll have to carry this church on. What are we going to do if they walk through the van and they say, well, if the preacher couldn't make it, I can't make it. It's easy, listen to me, it's easy to look at someone walking through a valley and say, well, you know, as strong as a person as they were, as close as they were to God, if they can't make it, I can't make it either. You listen to me, what does your flesh say? It's not easy to serve God in this day. You listen to me, what the Bible said. The Bible said Jacob got a hold of God and he spent the time it took in prayer with God until God answered his prayer and he said, I've seen God face to face. I've never seen his face. I don't know what his appearance looks like. And I'm going to tell you this. You can get in that prayer closet and get close to him and feel his prayer. He said, I've been preserved. My life is changed. My life has been saved. All because I got a hold of God. Somebody said, preacher, what's going to get us through the storm? The preacher ain't going to get you through. A church can't get you through. But you're going to have to get on your knees and get on the altar and call out to God. Our prayer closets are nothing more, and I'm done, are nothing more than a pile of ashes. You know what ashes are there for? They're there to remind us that there used to be a fire. Ashes are there to remind us, hey, at one time there was a fire. Ashes are there for mourning. Ashes are a representation of weeping. You know what our prayer life looks like tonight? It's like a pile of ashes. You know what a pile of ashes is good for? Absolutely nothing. What can you do with ashes? Nothing. What will ashes do in your life? Nothing. But they will remind you that a fire used to burn. You listen to me. The other day I started a fire in my yard, burning up some old trees at the house. Just got to be home during the day while I preach a revival, and I was burning up some old trees. And I had that fire. One time that fire was 20 foot in the air. I mean, I had a big old blazing fire, poured gasoline on it. Man, we had time. Me and my brother, man, I burned a hole in the ozone layer. I don't even know where the ozone layer is, but I burned a hole in it. My wife's hairspray don't do it. My gasoline burning wasn't going to do it. But preacher, we was having a good time. Several days later, I went back out there and there was a pile of ashes. And I saw that pile of ashes. I said, well, I need to get some of my, if you travel anytime, I got to get some of my McDonald's papers out the car. We just had one in a bucket of 50 chicken nuggets. I mean, it was a blessing. Me and my brother had time on them 50. We should have bought two buckets, one for each of us. I didn't get little like this by dieting and starving. You ain't going to be happy and healthy all at the same time. You're going to be one or the other. Now listen to me. Give me a second. I'm going to preach 25 minutes. So don't get nervous. I'm sure he preaches an hour and a half. But I got there. I said, well, I'm going to take all that trash and go lay it on the ashes and burn all that stuff up and just burn up. Well, I went out there. It had been about 3 days and set the trash down the ashes and walked off. Come back about an hour later. You know what I had? Had a pile of ashes, had trash sitting on top of it. You know what the problem was? The fire, there was still some heat there. There was still some heat down in the bottom of that fire. But the reason it never caught up is because all those ashes was cluttering up the heat. They were covering up any fire that could burn. There was still some hot coals, but they were way down deep. Ain't that like most of our prayer life? We come to God and we got a pile of ashes and all we do is keep piling trash on top of it. You don't confess your sin. You don't live godly. You don't live holy. And you just take your sin. You keep piling up on them ashes. You know what you got? Just a big pile of trash. We wonder why our prayers ain't getting answered. We wonder why there's not a touch on us when we sing. We wonder why we don't have a touch and people ain't get saved when we testify. We wonder what in the world's happened, preacher. You know what I had to do? You know what it took? I had to take that trash and I had to take it off. And I took my foot and had to kick away the ashes. And I got down real close. This is real deep. And I took my big lungs and I said, phew. And all it took was a breath. And two or three breaths later, things began to sparkle. And I blew just a few times and all of a sudden, those hot coals caught right back up. I set that trash on it and boom, it was burned away. On my way back to the house as I was walking, I got to thinking, most of our prayer lives is a pile of ashes. You know how come our prayers don't even get answered, sin don't get confessed? It's because we just keep piling trash. And that wind's a type of the Holy Ghost. And it took the wind, it took that air, that breath of breeze just to get it to burning. You know why our prayers ain't getting answered? It's because we got a pile of ashes that the Holy Ghost ain't going to breathe on. God's not going to come and blow on a bag of trash. God's not going to come and blow on the trash that's on your altar and scatter it out and make it even worse. No, sir. But if you'll remove it and then let Him deal with your heart. And son, I begin to sit there and I begin to think our prayer life today is a pile of ashes. You know why a lot of people can't make it through the storm? It's because they didn't have a prayer life before they got in the storm. And now they're having to learn what it's like to have a prayer life in the midst of adversity. You can do it, but it ain't easy. But I give you this, I'm done. I've got a place in the woods in front of my house. About 5 years ago, someone very close at our church hurt me and my wife. And I don't tell this to everybody, but they hurt me deeply and was pretty much told as from our church people that we love that we don't want that old-time preacher. We don't want to hear you anymore. We don't love you. We don't like you. We can't stand you or your wife. We should just leave and go somewhere. We're going to pull your preaching license and everything. And my heart was broken. I went down there in the woods in front of my house and got down between two pine trees and I began to weep. Hours passed that I wept. But I found me a place down there where I prayed and I prayed and I prayed until I got through. And I'm going to tell you this, through that storm, I've got a place, my wife tell you, I don't care if it's day, if it's night, if it's raining, if it's sunshine, it don't matter what it's like, I can get on my knees and I can go down there to that little old place and I can get on my knees and I can call out to God. And you know what? It feels like every time I go to that place, He's there. You know why? Because that's my place. That's where God done something great in my life. That's where God kept me from quitting. That's where God kept me from giving up preaching. That's where God, I told God that day, I said, God, I'm not preaching anymore. I'm not going anymore. I'm tired of traveling. I'm tired of not having any money. I'm tired of my wife being hurt. I give up now. I'm going back to construction. I'm going to work a job. And the Holy Ghost of God got a hold of me in that altar. And now I have a place. You know where I go when the storms rage? I go home and I go down there and I get on my plate because I've got somewhere where one time God preserved my life and God helped me. I ask you this morning. How are you going to come through the valley? You coming through with a touch? How are you coming through the night? You're going to come through and others be able to get help around you? Are you even going to come through? Where are you tonight? You may be in the beginning of the valley, maybe in the middle of the valley, maybe at the end of the valley. It don't really matter where you are in it. How are you going to come out of it? Everyone that has ever read this story has been touched because of one night in the life of Jacob. Your one night that tears your family apart may be the one night that God uses to keep another family together. Your one trial you walk through. I don't know, this church may walk through dark valleys ahead, and I know we're walking through them now. But what we walk through now may be what keeps us going on way on down the road. Where are you at in the valley tonight? You're going to come through the touch. And while the pianist has come, sister, if you'd come on, whoever's going to lead singing.